Speak Your Faith. Audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Introduction. As I look back on my own personal spiritual journey in Jesus, one of the disciplines or practices that has helped keep me strong is that of speaking my faith. I remember from my early teenage years, as part of my daily time with God, setting aside about 30 minutes or more, just declaring God's word over my life, my present and future. I would go from A to Z, speaking God's word over different areas of my life and declaring who I am in Christ. This nurtured my faith daily. It then became a natural response in almost every situation to think in these terms, to say what God says and speak my faith. Doing this has helped me rise up in the middle of every circumstance and come through to victory. This is how I would like to live till the very end, speaking my faith in His powerful and unfailing word. This book is designed to pass on to you something that has enriched me immensely, the simple practice of speaking your faith in God and His word, always. Make this your way of life. God designed all of creation. He established laws that govern the worlds He created. We understand laws in the natural, physical realm. We have quantified many of these laws in physics, chemistry, and other fields, and we leverage them to our benefit and are careful not to violate these laws, knowing that outcomes could be disastrous. In a similar way, there are spiritual laws that govern our interaction with the spiritual and natural realms. Since the natural came out of the spiritual, these spiritual laws affect our natural realm as well. Some of these spiritual laws are revealed to us in God's Word, so that we can understand and live by them. Among many spiritual laws or spiritual truths revealed in Scripture, we learn of the power of God's Word, the power of our spoken words, the power of God's Word spoken by us in faith, and the power of words spoken as inspired by the Holy Spirit, prophetic words. There is inherent power in God's Word. The Bible is God's Word given to us in written form so that we could receive it. There is power in the words of our mouth that affect our lives individually. There is power in words spoken out of faith in God. Our faith is in God and His Word. Words spoken in faith and birthed out of God's Word in our hearts moves mountains, calms storms, and releases the supernatural in our realm. There is also power in speaking words that come by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires and instructs us to speak His purposes into our realm. When we do His bidding, powerful things happen in the natural realm. All of these have to do with our words, the words we speak. Throughout Scripture, God instructs His people to speak His word. His word spoken as words out of our mouths with faith in our hearts, cause His creative, miracle-working power to be released in our natural realm. His word spoken as words out of our mouths become our weapon against the enemy. We can shape our world through speaking God's word over our present and our future. We must learn to speak faith-filled words, always and in all situations. To speak in faith is not to deny the existence of a mountain or the fierceness of a prevailing storm. Rather, faith speaks to the mountain, denying its right to continue standing in the way. Faith speaks to the winds and the storms, depriving it of its right to wreak havoc. And instead, gives way to the peace and calm that God releases. Faith speaks to sickness, commanding it to leave, and gives way to healing and wholeness that comes from God. Many people struggle with low self-esteem, lack of confidence, fear, apprehensiveness, anxiety, depression, bondages, and a host of other emotional problems. The practice of speaking God's word over our lives intentionally and in every situation is a key to total freedom and wholeness. Practice it. It's free. All it requires is some faith and discipline. You will never be the same again. We have attempted to capture many of the key scriptures that give us insight on the importance of our words, the power of speaking God's word, the power of speaking faith-filled words, and the power of speaking words inspired by the Spirit. There may be other scripture passages that you may wish to add to this list. Please do so. These are compiled in short, easy-to-digest chapters. Use this book like a daily devotional for your personal time, during your family prayer, or in your small group. Read it frequently to remind yourself of the power of speaking God's word in faith over your present and your future. Let the power of God's word shape your world as you speak your faith. God bless. Ashish Raichur. Chapter 1. Words are important in both realms. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. God is the grand designer, architect, and creator of all things. We are still discovering and trying to understand many things in the vast expanse of creation. God is infinite and his creation in many ways declares his infiniteness. God could have gone about the creative process in many ways. Perhaps he could have just had thoughts and let his thoughts take shape in the material realm. Perhaps he could have put the host of angels to form and distribute the natural realm according to his blueprint. However, God used words to bring things into being. The Bible reveals to us that God created by using his words. God said, and there was. His words carried his design and his creative power to bring into existence what he had in mind. We see this truth repeated to us in Scripture. God works through his words. He speaks, and what he speaks is done. Everything in the natural realm is therefore subject to his word and will respond to his words. God is spirit, and he used words to bring the natural realm into existence. So, words connect these two realms. The natural realm responds to words from the spirit realm. As human beings, the Bible teaches us that we are created in the image of God. We are spirit beings, with a soul, mind, will, and emotions, housed in a body, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Our words also connect two realms, the spiritual and the natural realms. Our words connect us with God. But for some, like sorcerers, they use words to connect with evil powers. Our words also affect our natural world. And when God speaks his words through us, then his power is released through us, affecting our world. Chapter 2. Dominion is exercised through words. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle. Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. God created man and woman and gave them a commission, which we read in the first two chapters of Genesis, and we refer to it as the Genesis chapter commission. Part of the Genesis chapter commission was for people to have dominion over all creatures on the earth. To have dominion means to rule over. It is interesting that God brought each of these creatures to Adam to have him give them their names. One of the outcomes of such action was that every living creature understood who was in charge. God had put Adam in charge of the earth. Every creature on earth was therefore under Adam's dominion, no questions asked. Adam's dominion or rule came from God himself. As Adam called and assigned each living creature a name, it was through words, expressing and exercising his God-given dominion and rulership on the earth. God was backing him up in this process. God has not withdrawn the Genesis chapter commission. We have been designed and commissioned by God to have dominion. Dominion is expressed and exercised through words. Let your words express your God-given dominion over things in this realm. Chapter 3. Call yourself according to His word. Genesis chapter 17, verses 4-5 and 15-16. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Abraham is referred in the New Testament as the father of faith. It is interesting to note that God in his dealings with Abram and Sarai, found it necessary to instruct them to change their names, so that they can start calling themselves according to what he had promised for their lives. Abram meant, exalted father, while Abraham meant, father of a multitude. Sarai meant, princely or dominative, while Sarah meant, queen or mother of princes. Each time Abraham called himself by that name, he was declaring God's promise over his life. He was saying, I am a father of many nations, as God has spoken concerning me. Each time Sarah called herself by that name, she was declaring God's promise over her life. She was stating, I am a mother of nations, of kings, of princes, as God has spoken concerning me. They did not have a child yet. But they were declaring as true what God had spoken. It may have seemed foolish and ridiculous in the beginning, when they began calling themselves according to God's promise. But the promise was fulfilled, and they became according to what God had spoken. Were they doing something wrong in calling themselves according to the promise of God? Absolutely not. God instructed them to do so. Paul explains this further in Romans chapter 4, which we will consider later. We are told to follow the steps of Abraham's faith. We have God's written word, where God has declared promises for his people and for all who are in Jesus Christ. These promises are available for all of God's people. He has qualified us to partake of the inheritance he has for his people, Colossians 1, verse 12. Declare the truth of God's promises in your life. Call yourself according to God's word. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. You will become everything He has promised. Chapter 4. Your words release blessing. Numbers chapter 6, verses 22-27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Words are vehicles to transmit blessing. God instituted this. We see in this instance, God giving clear instructions on how the high priest was to bless God's people, putting God's name over them, so that God will bless his people. The high priest would say to them, Speak over them and declare words of blessing over them in the name of the Lord. This is the way God's people of old released blessing. Isaac blessed Jacob as he spoke words of blessing over him, Genesis chapter 27, verses 27-29. It was by speaking words that Jacob blessed his sons, Genesis chapters 48-49. As priests in the New Covenant, we also have the opportunity to release blessing over our own lives, over the lives of our families and others by speaking words of blessing in the name of the Lord. What kinds of words are you speaking over your family and their future? Your words of blessing can release the blessing of the Lord over them. Chapter 5. God's word is your report written in advance, speak it. Numbers chapter 13, verses 30-33. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me, with all the signs which I have performed among them?" We are familiar with the incident of the 12 spies, two of whom were Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb saw the same giants, but made their final assessment based on who God is and what God had promised them. Caleb said, "We are well able to overcome." 45 years later, this same Caleb said, "Give me this mountain. I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. He held on to God's promise and never changed what he said even after 45 years. God's word is the result, the report, and the outcome written in advance. Speak according to God's word. Yes, of course, we will have giants to face, and these giants will appear intimidating. There will be battles to fight. The road to possess what God wants us to have is not devoid of giants and battles. But in the face of giants and in the midst of battles, declare who God is and what God has promised you. Declare that you can overcome because whoever is born of God overcomes the world, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Declare that God always causes you to triumph, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Declare that God brings you out of the miry pit, sets your feet upon a rock, and puts a new song in your mouth, Psalm chapter 40, verses 1-4. Declare that your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He who keeps you will never slumber nor sleep, Psalm chapter 121. Declare who your God is and what he has promised you. This is your outcome written in advance. Chapter 6. The word is near you, speak his word. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11-14. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven, that you should say, "Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?" Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, "Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?" But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. God wanted his people to keep his word in their mouth and in their heart. He desired for them to have his word in their mouth and their heart, so that they would do it and live by it. God's word must take up residence in our hearts and in our mouths. His word must fill our hearts. Faith is birthed in our hearts by his word. We believe his word in our hearts. His word must also be in our mouths. We say it. We speak it. We let the words of his mouth be the words of our mouth. His word is not mysterious or beyond our reach. His word is in us, in our hearts and in our mouths. As we live this way, his word becomes our lifestyle. We live according to his word. This is God's way of having his word abide in us and becoming fleshed out in us. He gave us this method. He said he has made his word available to us. As we keep his word in our mouths as part of our speech and in our hearts as part of our thinking and believing, his word will become part of our daily living. Chapter 7. Keep his words in your mouth. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua had the enormous task of leading God's people into the promised land. He had to step into Moses' shoes and lead God's people forward. One of the instructions God gave him was to always keep the words of the book as part of his speaking, thinking, and meditation. In essence, God instructed Joshua saying, "Let the words of the law always be in your mouth. Speak the word. Keep meditating in the word. This way you will carefully do what the word says. This will bring you prosperity and good success." Times have changed, but God's word and the power in his word have not diminished. What God's word did for Joshua in his day, in his time, and for his life assignment, God's word can do in our day, time, and for the assignments each of us have. If we will allow the words of God's book to always be in our mouth and fill our thinking day and night, we will then walk according to his word. We will thereby make our way prosperous, and we will succeed in what we have been assigned to do. Apply Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 principle to your life. Let the words of his book be the words of your mouth. Say what God says. Meditate and think aligned to his word. Live aligned to his word. You will have prosperity and good success in your assignments. Chapter 8. His promises endure, and so does our declaration. Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 to 12. "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." 45 years later, Caleb, at age 85, was still fired up with passion and zeal to go possess what God had promised would be his. There were still some giants to fight and conquer, but he was ready. He still declared his confidence in his God, the same way he did 45 years before. How long are you going to declare God's word as true in your life? The fact is that God is not a man to lie. His word is truth. His word endures. His word never changes. What God has promised and declared about you in his word is truth. It is established and forever settled in heaven. Our God is the great I Am. He never changes. So we do not change what we say about our God and what he has promised. We continue to say who our God is. He is still our Savior, Healer, Redeemer, Deliverer, Provider, Waymaker, and Miracle Worker. He is still our Heavenly Father. We declare that what he has promised to us in every area of life is good and true. It will remain good and true through time, through all seasons of life. So we hold on to what he has promised. As with Caleb, it may take a while before you can set foot on and possess what God has promised. Remember, his promises endure. They don't change with time. Maintain your declaration of his promises. Chapter 9. Declare your covenant with God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 26, 36, and 45. "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.' Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied.'" As David prepared to take on Goliath, there was one important truth that David knew. David was circumcised, that is, he was a man who had a covenant with God. He referred to Goliath as this uncircumcised Philistine, that is, a man without a covenant with God. Because David was in covenant with God, he knew that the living God was on his side. The Lord of hosts, the God of the heavenly and earthly armies, was with David. This made all the difference. When David ran to meet Goliath, he did so based on his covenant with God. David boldly declared who God is, what God has done, and what God will do through him. David could speak boldly because he was a man in covenant with God. What are the giants you are facing? There is no giant too big for God. The well-trained soldiers in Saul's army were comparing the giant to themselves. So they were terrified. They did not venture out into combat. But David looked at the giant and realized the giant was no match for the Lord of hosts. Whatever giants you are facing, sickness, financial problems, debt, problems in your family, problems at the workplace, or legal battles, remember, your giants are no match for God. You are a person in covenant with God. God is on your side. Declare that you will conquer your giants. Declare that your giants are defeated and you are victorious. Declare victory in the name of Jesus Christ. God is on your side, and he fights for you. Chapter 10. Speak words that are acceptable before God. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Psalm chapter 19, after declaring the greatness of God and the purity of his word, David prays that the words of his mouth would be acceptable in God's eyes. The word acceptable in Hebrew also means to be pleasing, delightful, favorable. We can choose the words we speak. We can choose to speak words that are acceptable, pleasing, and delightful in the eyes of God. When our words are aligned to the word of God, which is pure, perfect, and right, then our words will surely be acceptable, pleasing, and delightful in God's eyes. When we speak words that declare his glory, then our words are pleasing in his sight. When we speak of what our God can do, our words are delightful in his eyes. When we talk about the wondrous nature of our God, his love, his mercies, and his compassions, then our words are acceptable in his eyes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, teaches us that faith pleases God. Speak words of faith. Speak words that declare your faith in who God is and what he does for his people. Speak words that declare your faith, his word, and his power at work in your life. Faith pleases God. Words of faith are acceptable, pleasing, and delightful to God. In every situation, speak words that are acceptable, pleasing, and delightful in the eyes of God. Speak words of faith from a heart of faith. Chapter 11. Declare who God is to you in every situation. Psalm chapter 27, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Consider what David is stating during difficult situations. He recognizes that there are enemies and foes. However, he declares who God is to him: the Lord is my light, my salvation, and the strength of my life. And because of who God is to him, David can make bold statements: whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? My heart shall not fear. I will be confident. He declares and announces the defeat of his enemies because of God being with him. Would it be right to follow David's example? Of course. In every situation, we should stand boldly in who God is to us. We too can declare, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" During adversity, we can declare that God is our deliverer. In the midst of sickness, we can declare that God is our healer. In the midst of need, we can declare that God is our provider. In the midst of hopeless situations, we can declare that God turns our mourning into dancing. We can declare that though weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning. We are not denying the problems we face. We are not denying that there are enemies and foes. But we are declaring who God is, what we have in Him, and the confidence we have because of Him in spite of what we are facing. In every situation, declare who God is to you. In every situation, declare what you have in Him. In every situation, declare your boldness, confidence, joy, triumph, and victory because of Him. David did so. You can too. Chapter 12. The natural world responds to the voice of the Lord. Psalm chapter 29, verses 3-9. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness, the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth, and strips the forests bare. And in His temple everyone says, Glory! In declaring the greatness of God in this psalm, David proceeds to declare the greatness and power of the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is released through the word of the Lord. God releases His voice through the words He speaks. This passage reveals to us once again that everything in the natural world responds to the voice of the Lord, that is, to the word of the Lord. God's word, the voice of the Lord, moving over the waters is God moving over the waters. The word, the voice of the Lord, is an expression of His power and majesty. All of creation, animate and inanimate, respond to the voice of the Lord. There are times in Scripture as the Holy Spirit moved over people, the voice of the Lord was released through the voice of humans. The word of the Lord came through them when they spoke, moved by the Holy Spirit. It was said of them that the voice of the Lord was with them. When the word of the Lord was released through the voice of human beings under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, amazing things happened. Water flowed from a rock, seas and rivers parted, the sun stood still, the sun turned 10 degrees backward, oil and flour multiplied, an axe head floated on water, and much more. As believers, we have the privilege of speaking the word of the Lord by faith. We take what God has already spoken, believe that word, and speak it forth today. There are also times when the Spirit of God moves on us, as in times past, so that we speak a word He inspires us to speak. As we speak that word, the word of the Lord is being released through our voice. The natural world responds to the voice of the Lord. Learn to do both. Speak the word of God with faith in your heart. And speak the voice of the Lord as the Holy Spirit inspires. Chapter 13. The natural world was shaped and formed by His word. Psalm chapter 33, verses 6 and 9. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. One of the truths presented to us throughout Scripture is that God created everything by His word. He spoke. He commanded. He released the breath of His mouth. He released words. He spoke the natural visible realm into existence. This is important for us to understand. Everything in the natural, visible, material realm is subservient to the Word of God. The Word of God still creates. The Word of God can bring into being in our life and in our realm of daily living what is not there. We can have what God has promised if we will learn how to release the power of God's Word into our world. The Word of God changes and transforms. The Word of God can change and transform things in our world, our life, and in our realm of daily living, and can bring them into alignment to what God has promised for us. But we must first learn to release the power of God's Word into our world. One of the keys God has placed in the Scripture that causes the power of His Word to be released into our world is for us to speak His Word by faith. When we believe His Word and speak His Word into our situations, circumstances, minds, bodies, finances, family, and workplaces, etc., the power of His Word is released into our world. Everything in our world is subject to His Word and will be brought into conformity to His Word. Let your world be shaped and formed by His Word. Chapter 14. Your tongue can bring you good days and a long life. Psalm chapter 34, verses 12 to 14. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The scriptures teach us here that our words affect the length and the quality of our lives. To enjoy a good and long life, the first thing David points out in this passage is to keep ourselves from speaking evil, corrupt, profane, and cruel things. Avoid speaking lies and deceit. Tame the tongue. Speak right words. Speak words of truth. Speak words of life. That's the first thing. And stay away from doing evil. Instead, do good and pursue peace. Our words affect our world. They can cause good, life, and blessing, or they can cause evil, death, and cursing. Our words seem so insignificant, and yet in many ways they are building blocks of our life experience. They are like seeds that we sow, which one day will produce in our lives, after their own kind. God designed our words to have an important role in our lives. Don't take your words lightly. Treat them with care. Choose your words carefully, because your life will be shaped by those words. How powerful would our words be if we spoke the very word of God? How blessed would our lives be if the very word of God is what we spoke and declared over our lives? Let words birthed out of God's own word become the building blocks out of which our lives are built. Let words birthed out of God's own word become the seeds that are sown into our lives, out of which fruit is born for us in the days to come. Let your tongue bring you good days and long life. Speak His Word. Chapter 15. Declaring His Word is claiming His covenant. Psalm chapter 50, verses 14 to 17. Offer to God thanksgiving. And pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked God says, what right have you to declare my statutes, or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? Speaking God's word with your mouth is taking His covenant in your mouth, that is, invoking and claiming His covenant or promises. God rebukes the ungodly because they despise His word. They do not honor God's word. They cast aside His word as worthless. Hence, these people who disregard God's word have no right to speak His word with their mouths and try to claim the benefits of His covenant. However, for those of us who believe and honor His word, when we declare His word, God sees it as us claiming the covenant we have with Him. When we take His covenant in our mouths by declaring His word, we are claiming the benefits of God's covenant with us. God is Jehovah, the Eternal, self-existent, immutable God who keeps His covenant and fulfills promises. He will never break His covenant or alter the words He has spoken. We are in a blood covenant with Almighty God through His Son Jesus Christ. Through His blood covenant with us, He has made all of Himself, all who He is, available to us. We understand some of this through His covenant names. Know your covenant blessings. In any situation, declare His word. Claim and walk in your covenant blessings. Chapter 16. I will say of the Lord. Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 to 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. What will you say of the Lord? The psalmist said of the Lord, that God was his refuge and fortress. He was placing his trust, reliance, confidence, and dependence on the Lord to protect him. What will you say of the Lord? I will say of the Lord, He is my Savior. He has saved me from all my sins. He has broken sin's power over my life. I am free from the dominion of sin. I will say of the Lord, He is my heavenly Father. He cares for me as his own. His love never runs out and never fails. I am accepted as his own. I will say of the Lord, He is my healer and my deliverer. He heals me of all my diseases. He delivers me of all my afflictions and adversities. I will say of the Lord, He is my Redeemer. He has delivered me from the powers of darkness and transferred me into His own kingdom. I am redeemed by the blood of His Son Jesus Christ. I will say of the Lord, He is my righteousness. I stand clothed with His righteousness without any sense of guilt, shame, inferiority, or condemnation. I am holy and without blame before Him. I will say of the Lord, He is my provider, and He meets all my needs according to His riches. He withholds no good thing from me and makes all grace abound to me. I will say of the Lord, He is my sanctifier who has set me apart for Himself. I am holy even as He is holy. He has purified me unto Himself to be part of His own special people. I will say of the Lord, He is my shepherd who leads me, provides for me, protects me, guides me, and restores me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I will say of the Lord, He is my counselor who guides me and directs my steps. My steps are ordered by the Lord, and even if I fall, He holds me up. I will say of the Lord, He is my helper. My help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. He never lets me down. I will say of the Lord, He is my righteous judge and my vindicator. I rest my matters before Him. I repay no one evil for evil. I overcome evil with good. My God vindicates me. I will say of the Lord, He is my banner, the one in whose name I have victory. He always causes me to triumph in all situations. Through Him I do valiantly because He grants me the victory. I will say of the Lord, He is my peace. He fills my life with perfect peace, perfect shalom, total well-being. I will say of the Lord, He is my protector. No evil shall befall me. He who watches over me never sleeps. His angels are on assignment taking care of me. I will say of the Lord, He is my strengthener. He is the strength of my life. As I wait on Him, He empowers me to rise up with wings as an eagle. I will say of the Lord, He is my rewarder. My God does not forget my labor of love done in His name. He is the one who rewards me, gives me increase, and causes me to bear fruit. Go on and add to this. What will you say of the Lord? Chapter 17. Angels listen to the voice of His word. Psalm chapter 103, verses 20-21. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. The angels of God are strong and mighty. They do His word. They are attentive to the voice of His word and carry out what God's word declares. We are making an inference here, which although cannot be proved conclusively from these two verses, holds good with the essence of what we know about angels and their activity in Scripture. As we speak the word, declaring what God has said is ours, angels hear the voice of His word, which we declare, and therefore carry out their ministry to us, the heirs of salvation, in accordance with the word of God. This is just an inference we are making, but a valid one. Angels are sent to minister to us. We are the heirs of salvation, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. They administer to us what God has declared for us His saints. Angels do what God wants done for us His people. We can also infer, as seen from Daniel's experience, Daniel chapter 10, and that of the early church, Acts chapter 12, verses 5-7, that there are spiritual activities we engage in that welcomes angels to work on our behalf. Prayer is one such thing. It would also be safe to say that our worship, giving, and our obedience to God also move angels to work on our behalf. Since we know angels pay attention to God's word and carry out his word, it is therefore safe to conclude that when we declare our faith in God's word and God's promises, it would move angels into working on our behalf. Angels will not engage in anything that is contrary to the word. So, when we speak contrary to God's word, angels will not move based on those words. Let angels know that you are standing in expectation of God's word being fulfilled in your life. Speak the word. In any situation, intentionally declare his word. In a situation of need, declare, "My God supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory through Jesus Christ." In a situation of confusion, declare, "I command perfect peace, good understanding, and cooperation to come into this situation. My God is the author of peace and not of confusion." Let angels hear the voice of his word coming forth through your voice and move into action on that word. Chapter 18. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalm chapter 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and we must say so. A prisoner after having been released from prison does not walk around calling himself a prisoner. He announces boldly and proudly that he is a free man. He was a prisoner. That is in the past. Who he is now is what matters most. He is a free man. He can exercise the full rights of his freedom. As believers, we have been delivered from the powers of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are qualified to partake of the inheritance that God has given to his people, the saints. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, Colossians 1, verses 12 to 14. To redeem means to buy back, release from captivity, and to restore the original state of glory. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Satan has no more claim over us, no dominion over us, or authority over us. We are God's purchased possession, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. I am redeemed from the power of Satan and all his demons, Colossians 1, verse 13. The powers of darkness have no claim over me and no authority over me. I am redeemed from the power of sin, Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 14. Sin will not have dominion over me. I am redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3, verse 13. I now walk under the blessings of Abraham. I am redeemed from this present evil world, Galatians 1, verse 4. The ways, influences, and evil of this present age have no power over me. I am redeemed from every sinful deed, Titus 2, verse 14. Sinful lifestyle patterns of the past have no power over me. I am purified to be his and for good works. I am redeemed from aimless and sinful lifestyle patterns of previous generations, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19. I am a new creation and walk in a new life. I am redeemed and I overcome the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Satan and his demons lay crushed underneath my feet, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and Romans chapter 16, verse 20. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I say so. Chapter 19. Maintain the voice of rejoicing in salvation. Psalm chapter 118, verses 15 to 17. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The homes of the righteous have the voice of rejoicing and salvation. The word salvation in Hebrew is the word, Yeshua, a comprehensive word, like the Greek word, sozo, and includes salvation, safety, help, deliverance, victory, prosperity, welfare, health, well-being, and wholeness. The challenges of this world come into every home, one way or another. The homes of the righteous face challenges and the storms of life. However, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly for the righteous. The right hand of the Lord is the power of God, which is always triumphant and more powerful than any other. Therefore, the righteous have shouts of rejoicing, victory, celebration, and salvation in their homes. Therefore, we can say, I will not die, but live, and will declare the works of the Lord. What do we do when we are going through some challenges? Do we change our voice? No. We maintain the voice of rejoicing and salvation in our homes. We keep declaring that our God is mighty. We maintain the voice of salvation, because our God saves us, keeps us, preserves us, heals us, delivers us, prospers us, and gives us victory. The right hand of the Lord is always powerful and victorious in all seasons. Let the voice of rejoicing and salvation be heard in your home. Maintain the voice of rejoicing and salvation through every season. Chapter 20. Out of your heart come the forces that shape your life. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20-23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them during your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The instruction here is to fill our hearts with God's word. We pay close attention to His word, lean in, and listen to His word, keep our focus on His word, so that His word can be in our innermost being. His word then blesses us with life, health, and wholeness. He instructs us to guard our hearts. We must not permit anything that is contrary to the word to get into our hearts. We must protect our hearts and, in effect, protect the word that we have deposited in there. The heart, our inner person, is so important. Out of our hearts come the forces that shape our lives. One of the ways by which what is in our hearts is released into our lives is through words we speak. The forces that shape our lives, coming from our inner person, are released through the words we speak. If our hearts are full of His word, then the words we speak are aligned to His word. We speak His word. The forces that shape our lives come from His word. The very power of God's word is then released to work in our lives and affect every area of our lives, our present and our future. Fill your heart with God's word. Speak His word. Let the forces that shape your life emanate from the word of God in you. Chapter 21. Righteous words release life and strength. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11, 20-21, and 31-32. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. We see in these verses a contrast between the words of the righteous and those of the wicked. Words of the righteous are a well of life. They administer life, wholeness, well-being, and everything we know that is associated with life. Words of the righteous are like choice silver, meaning very pure, valuable, and precious. Words of the righteous feed many. They administer nourishment, strength, life, help, and blessing to many people. Two additional things characterize the words of the righteous: wisdom and what is acceptable and delightful. Words can minister life and blessing to others. The words we release can be a well of life to some. Our words can be the choice silver someone is seeking and can be the source of nourishment and strength to others. One definite way to make sure your words are right and righteous is to speak aligned to God's word. If we do so, our words will be words of wisdom and words that bring joy, freedom, and release to people. Choose to speak righteous words. Speak aligned to the word of God. Chapter 22. Words can heal and make whole. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, we learn that the tongue of the wise promotes health. The word health in Hebrew is marpeh, which means a cure, medicine, remedy, healing, deliverance, soundness of mind, and wholeness. Words used correctly and with wisdom can heal and bring wholeness to both yourself and to those who hear you. The same word, marpeh, is once again used in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, where it is translated wholesome. A tongue that speaks wholesome words, literally words of healing and deliverance, is a tree of life. Over in Revelation chapter 22, verses 1-2, we read about the tree of life, and he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The leaves of the tree of life brought healing. When we speak words of healing, wholeness, deliverance, and soundness, we can administer healing both to ourselves and to those we speak with. Words can heal and make whole. God says that His word is life, freshness, strength, and health, marpeh, to our whole body, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. When people cried out to Him, God sent His word and healed them. In Hebrew, rapha is cure, make whole, Psalm chapter 107, verse 20. The word of God has power to heal and make the entire person whole. So, speak the word of God and let the healing power of His word be released through the words of your mouth. Let words that promote healing, that are good medicine, that are like the tree of life, be released through your mouth. Use your words by speaking God's healing word to promote health and wholeness both for yourself and for those around you. Chapter 23. Release the power of pleasant words. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 21 and 24. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. We can choose the words we speak in any given situation. Words that are kind, gentle, pleasant, enriching, uplifting, and positive have a powerful impact. Words spoken gently and kindly increase learning. They make people more receptive to instruction, are more convincing and persuasive. Kind, pleasant, and enriching words bring strength to the inner person and health to the very core of one's being. We are not talking about flattery, which are words that are insincere and meant to make one feel good with nothing genuine behind those words, but we are referring to speaking genuine and truthful words spoken with care, kindness, and gentleness. When we include God's powerful word as part of our speech, we can minister faith, hope, strength, courage, healing, wisdom, and counsel through our words. Speak with sweetness. Speak with pleasantness. Speak words that build people up. Speak words that enrich and heal people. Minister God to people as you speak of Him, what He can do, and what He has promised. Release the power of pleasant words. Chapter 24. Your life gets filled with the fruit of your words. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Our words affect our lives in every way. They affect our inner person. A man's stomach refers to his innermost being. Our inner person can be filled with good, be satisfied, be nourished, and be blessed with our words. Just as food would do to the stomach. Our words affect what happens to us in life. Our life gets filled up with the outcome of the words we speak. We live with the consequences of our words and the things we have been speaking over time. What would you like your inner person to be full of? How about being filled with confidence, courage, faith, hope, righteousness, peace, joy, quietness, wisdom, and power, and all the good things that are available to us as sons and daughters of God? Definitely. then we need to speak words that will fill us up with such virtues that come from God by the power of His Word and His Spirit. Speak God's Word. Declare what is yours in Christ. Declare that you are part of His kingdom and therefore you have righteousness, peace, and joy from the Holy Spirit. Declare that you have peace that Jesus gives, peace which the world cannot give, peace that is beyond understanding, and this peace guards your heart and mind. Declare that you have power, love, and a sound mind. Declare that the Lord is your confidence. You are bold like a lion. You are strong and courageous because the Lord is with you wherever you go. Speak words that build good things into your inner person. What would you like your life experiences to be full of? What would you like your present and future to be full of? Speak the promises of God over your life, your present, and your future. Your life gets filled with the fruit of the words you speak. Chapter 25. Your words have power of life and death. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. God has placed matters of life and death in the power of the tongue, that is, in the words we speak. Our words can bring life or death. We must be prepared to accept the consequences of our words. We will have to live with the fruit of our words. Death refers to dying physically, and is also used figuratively to refer to pestilence, disease, and ruin. Life refers to everything that has to do with being alive in a positive way, and includes freshness and strength. The words we speak can ruin us or bless us. The words we speak can invigorate us, bringing life and strength. Or the words we speak can tear our lives down, leaving us weak and bankrupt. God has designed our words to have such impact and influence over us. What you say can build you up or destroy you. We must therefore choose to speak words that release life and blessing over ourselves and others. There could be nothing better than to speak the Word of God itself. Speak the promises of God over your life. Speak what God has declared about you as a new creation in Christ. Speak blessing, prosperity, success, abundance, and goodness into your life according to His Word. Declare that you will be a blessing to many. Declare that you are blessed to be a blessing. Declare that you will fulfill all of God's purposes and assignments for you. Declare that God will be glorified through your life. Use your words to release life and blessing over your present and your future. Chapter 26. His word in your mouth can affect nations. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. We see in these two verses the power of the prophetic word. As Jeremiah would speak the words that God put in his mouth, over nations and kingdoms, things would be rooted out, pulled down, destroyed, and thrown down. There would be a tearing down and a collapse of things in nations and kingdoms that God wanted to be brought down, as Jeremiah spoke the words God gave him. And things would also be built up, established, raised up in nations and kingdoms as Jeremiah spoke the prophetic word. A prophetic word is a word released through people, given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still at work in the lives of God's people. He still moves on us to prophesy and release inspired words or prophetic words over nations and peoples. As God puts His words in our mouths and we speak them, we affect the conditions of spiritual, social, economic, etc., that prevail over nations and kingdoms. His words released through our mouths can affect nations. God watches over His words to perform them, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 27. Speak to the dry bones that they may live. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 7. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. This passage reveals a part of Ezekiel's prophetic experience. These dry bones were a picture of the nation of Israel, who were scattered from their own land and felt hopeless, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 11 to 12. God had Ezekiel speak the prophetic word. Words given by God to these dry bones. The bones joined then together, flesh was formed over them, life came into them, and they arose as a great army, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 10. The destiny of an entire nation was affected through the prophetic word. The prophetic word was a vehicle through which the power of God was released on the earth to fulfill the purposes of God. Even today, the Holy Spirit inspires us and gives us words to speak prophetically. This could be over our own lives, over other people, over cities, regions, and nations. As we speak the words He inspires us to speak, dry bones live. What is dead is brought back to life. People and nations arise with hope and life. Remember, as the Holy Spirit inspires you, speak to the dry bones, and they will live. Chapter 28. Your words are heard in heaven. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand, and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. The words we speak here on earth are heard in heaven. Angels are dispatched by God in response to the words we speak. We speak words in prayer. We speak words to exercise our faith. We speak words as we wield the sword of the Spirit in warfare against the powers of darkness. We speak words to bless people. We speak words to minister healing, deliverance, and miracles to people. We speak words to move mountains and calm storms. We speak words to bind and loose, exercising our authority on the earth. Our words are heard in heaven. Angels are sent in response to our words. What words would you speak since you know that your words are heard in heaven? In heaven it is God's word that prevails. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven, Psalm chapter 119, verse 89. The words we speak in prayer, in faith, in warfare, in ministry, in exercising authority, in all situations, must be words aligned to the word of God already established in heaven. Remember, your words are heard in heaven. Always speak aligned to heaven, and heaven will move on your behalf. Chapter 29. Words transmit from the spiritual into the natural. Daniel chapter 10, verses 17 to 19. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you, be strong, yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. As Daniel had this angelic visitation, he felt overwhelmed, weak, powerless, and maybe even fearful. The angel touched him and spoke words into him. Fear not, peace, be strong. And Daniel was strengthened. Words spoken by the angel to Daniel transmitted peace and strength into Daniel. Words connect the spiritual realm and the natural realm. Words transmit from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. As people, we have been designed by God to be able to operate in both the natural and spiritual realms. As believers, we have our seating at the right hand of God in Jesus Christ, in the spiritual realm. We are in Christ. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. This is who we are in the spiritual realm. Our words enable us to take what God has given to us in the spiritual realm and administer it to someone in the natural realm. An example is when we minister to the sick and command healing. Is there anything of ourselves in the natural that can bring about supernatural healing? Absolutely nothing. What we are doing is taking of the finished work of Jesus Christ, taking of the anointing and authority that is ours in the spiritual realm, and administering that to the person for the healing of their physical body. Our words connect the spiritual realm to the natural realm. As we speak based on the Word of God, we can take what is ours in the spiritual and release it in the natural. We are here to see His kingdom come, His will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. One way we do this is by speaking aligned to His Word so that what He has given to us in the spiritual is released here into the natural. Chapter 30. Let the weak say I am strong. Joel chapter 3, verses 9-10. Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Joel chapter 3 is a prophecy about the battle of Armageddon in the valley of Jehoshaphat and the day of the Lord. Nations are being mobilized for war. Joel describes even peaceful implements, plowshares and pruning hooks, being turned into weapons of war, like swords and spears. In the process is an interesting statement. Let the weak say, I am strong. The weak were not to say, I am weak. The weak were to say, I am strong. The implication here is that the weak can become strong by saying, I am strong, and move ahead into battle. Would it be right for us to affirm what God has declared for us in His Word in a similar manner even if we don't feel like it at the moment? Would it be right for those struggling with sin to say, sin will not have dominion over me, so that they can walk in victory over sin? Absolutely. Let those facing sin and temptation, that is all of us, say, my old sinful nature has been crucified with Christ, and the power of sin over my life has been broken. Sin will not have dominion over me. Would it be right for the sick to say, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, so that they can be healed? Absolutely. Let the sick say, Jesus Himself took my sicknesses and carried my pains. And by His stripes I am healed. Would it be right for those in need to say, my God supplies for all my needs, so that their needs can be met? Absolutely. Let those in need say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. My God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory through Jesus Christ. Would it be right for those feeling powerless to say, truly I am full of power because the Holy Spirit has come upon me, so that they can move in the power of the Spirit? Absolutely. Let us say, I have received power after the Holy Spirit came upon me. I am anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and to proclaim deliverance to the captives. Affirm what the Word of God says about you, even if you feel exactly the opposite. God's Word is truth. Facts can change. God's truth is eternal and will not change. The facts of what you are facing can be changed to align to the truth of God's Word. Let the weak say, I am strong, and so become strong. Chapter 31. Don't offend God with your words. Malachi chapter 3, verses 13-16. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. Imagine God being hurt and pained by the words he heard his people speak and the things they said. God listens to our words. Verse 16 informs us that a book of remembrance is written to record those who spoke in reverence of God and meditated on his name. God hears the words we speak. How would you like God to feel when he hears you speak? Surely, we do not wish to hurt or offend God with our words. How can we ensure that what we speak glorifies and magnifies our God and pleases his heart? When we speak what is aligned to his word and is right before his eyes. Don't let your words offend God. Say what God has said. Speak his word in every situation. Let him know that you honor him and his word in every situation. Chapter 32. Learn to say, "It is written," Jesus did. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1-4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The Lord Jesus is our perfect example, whom we imitate and follow in all things. We have the three temptations recorded for us that Jesus faced in the wilderness. These were not the only temptations he ever faced. He was tempted in all points, every area, and in every way just as we are. And he was without sin, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We do not have all these temptations recorded. However, in the three temptations recorded in Matthew chapter 4, we notice that each time the Lord Jesus responded to the temptation by speaking the word. He said, "It is written," each time. We can therefore be certain that he dealt with every temptation in a similar manner, by speaking the word. In every temptation, in every situation, learn to say, "It is written." Say what God has said. Speak the word to overcome temptations and situations that challenge you. When facing a temptation, say, "It is written, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. It is written, sin will not have dominion over me. I yield my body as an instrument of righteousness." When facing a situation where there seem to be insurmountable challenges, say, "It is written, I am born of God and I overcome this world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith. God always causes me to triumph. I triumph even in this situation." Learn to say, "It is written." Jesus did so. Speak God's word in every situation. Chapter 33. Cast out spirits with a word. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick. As we follow the ministry of Jesus through the Gospels, we learn how he dealt with evil spirits. He exercised authority and dominion over demons by speaking the word of command. Matthew records here that he cast out the spirits with a word. He just spoke a word of command. Let's follow Jesus' example. Our words are an expression of the authority and dominion that has been given to us in Christ. We carry authority delegated to us through the right to use his name. We walk in his authority. When we must confront demonic powers, we do so by speaking words of authority. We cast out spirits with a word of command. Learn to speak words of authority. You do this for yourself, as well as when you are ministering to others. When faced with thoughts of fear, learn to say, "In Jesus' name, I command the spirit of fear to leave now. I reject thoughts of fear in Jesus' name." Typically, you would call the spirit by the condition that is being caused. If you feel that an unusual or unexplainable thing is causing confusion, then take authority over that confusion. Learn to say, "In Jesus' name, I take authority over spirits of confusion at work in this situation. I bind their work. I command them to leave in the name of Jesus." When ministering to someone who is sick and you know that condition is due to an evil spirit, you say, "In Jesus' name, I take authority over this spirit of infirmity and command it to leave now. Cast out evil spirits with a word of command." Jesus did so, and so must we. Chapter 34. When you confess him on earth, you are mentioned in heaven. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 to 33. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus' words are very clear. If we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father in heaven. The word confess in Greek is homologia, is a compound word of the Greek homo meaning the same, and the Greek logos meaning something said. So to confess means to say the same thing, to agree with, to assent, to acknowledge, to profess. To confess is to say the same thing as the other person. Biblical confession is coming into agreement with what God has said with his word. It is saying the same thing that God has said. We say what he has said. You cannot say your own thing that contradicts God's word and call it confession. We must confess who Jesus said he is. Our confession about Jesus must agree with what he said about himself. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. When we confess him, that is, say the same thing he said about himself before men, he will confess us. That means he'll agree with us in what we say about ourselves in relation with him before the Father in heaven. You can then say, "I am a child of God, washed by the blood of Jesus, saved from sin, translated into God's kingdom," and so on. And that is what Jesus will acknowledge about you before the Father in heaven. Say about Jesus what he said about himself, and what the Word of God reveals about him. He is Savior. He is Healer. He is Deliverer. He is the Prince of Peace. Confess him before men. He will confess you before the Father. Chapter 35. Words release what is in your heart into your life. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 35. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers! How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. A tree is known by its fruit. The fruit that the tree bears depends on what is in the tree, and what kind of tree it is. Jesus then relates this to people. If the heart is evil, the mouth will speak evil, because what is in the heart comes out through the words of our mouth. In verse 35 we learn that what we bring forth, that is, the fruit, in our lives depends on what is inside us. If you have a good deposit, that is a good treasure inside, you will bear good fruit and bring forth good things in your life. Words play an important role in causing what is inside, that is the good treasure, to come forth into our lives and bear good fruit, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Words release what is inside us into our lives. The deposit in our hearts is released into our lives by the words we speak. Make the deposit good. We are instructed to have the word of Christ abiding richly in us, Colossians 3, verse 16. Have a rich treasure of God's word inside you. Then the words you speak will be aligned to the word of God in you. You cannot help but speak according to the word, because that is the deposit inside you. You will also bring forth good things, because out of your heart come forth the forces that shape your life, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. Words release into your life what is in your heart. Fill up with the word. Speak the word. Chapter 36. You are justified or condemned by your words. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 to 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. How important are our words? Jesus said we will give an account of even the idle words we have spoken. We have seen in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that the power of life and death are in our words. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 to 37, Jesus reveals to us the eternal consequences of our words. We will be justified or condemned by our words. If words are so important both in the here and the hereafter, we must take our words seriously. The word idle in Greek is the word argos, which means inactive, unemployed, and profitable, useless, slow, barren. Jesus said we will give an account of even idle words, words we speak that we really didn't mean to say, that is words we were not actively putting to work. I don't know how this will be done, but let's just take his warning seriously. Instead of speaking idle words, speak words that are useful, fruitful, and profitable for you and for others around you. Speak words that will release life, blessing, strength, and power into your own life and that of others. Speak words that will justify, elevate, promote, lift up, and enrich yourself and the people around you. Speak the word. Chapter 37. Words release kingdom authority to bind and loose. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 to 19. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The church is built upon the rock, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This was Peter's great confession that came by revelation from the Father. The church that Jesus is building is a powerful church that all the powers of hell cannot contain, restrain, or prevail over. To this church, the Lord Jesus has vested the authority, given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven, God's own kingdom. The church is on earth to release God's kingdom in this realm and has been vested with kingdom authority. How is kingdom authority going to be exercised here in the earthly realm? Jesus said, "We will bind on earth, and we will loose on earth." The word bind means to forbid, prohibit, disallow, and declare as illegal. The word loose means to destroy, put off, unbind, loosen, release, dissolve, undo, throw away, overthrow, and do away with. How do we bind and loose? We see Jesus doing this in his ministry. He did it by exercising his authority through his spoken words. To the deaf and dumb he said, "Be opened," and their ears and tongue were loosed, Mark chapter 7, verses 33 to 35. He said to the woman, "You are loosed from your infirmity," Luke chapter 13, verse 12. Jesus spoke words of authority that released people and stopped the works of the devil. We follow his example. We speak words in the authority of Jesus' name. We bind and loose through the words we speak, in the authority delegated to us. Use your words to exercise the authority of God's kingdom vested in you as a believer. Your words release kingdom authority to bind and loose. Speak words of authority. Chapter 38. Speak to the mountain. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." If we studied Jesus' teaching on faith in the Gospels, we would discover that he placed great emphasis on speaking our faith. In Matthew chapter 17, when the disciples failed to cast the demon out and questioned Jesus as to why they could not do it, Jesus pointed to their unbelief or lack of faith. He then went on to teach them and us on the possibilities of faith, what we can do with it, and how to exercise or use our faith. To summarize, faith could not only overthrow demons and their works, but also affect change in the natural world, example, move this mountain from here to there. With faith, Jesus said, "Nothing will be impossible for you." We can get the job done with the faith we have in our hearts. He said, "Faith in our hearts is so effective, that just a mustard seed-sized faith can move a mountain. The way to exercise faith is to say and speak your faith. With faith in your heart, release words that describe what you have faith for. He also made it very clear that we must speak to the mountain. When we want the mountain moved, we speak to the mountain. Often, we make the mistake of speaking about the mountain to others. Sometimes we may even speak or complain about the mountain to God as though He did not already know that it was there. Jesus clearly instructed us that we must speak to the mountain with faith in our hearts. Speak to demons. Speak to diseases. Speak to storms. Speak to situations. Speak to lack. Speak to closed doors. Speak to things in our natural realm. Command according to your faith. He said, "Nothing will be impossible to you." Let's follow Jesus' instruction on faith. Speak your faith. Chapter 39. Speak your desired outcome. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, and be healed of your affliction." This woman may have initially considered within herself, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Eventually she spoke it out, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." That is how others knew what she said and recorded it for us. Jesus responded to this woman that her faith had made her well. Her saying and doing were aligned to her believing. She believed. She spoke. She acted. She spoke her faith, expressing the desired outcome. She said that she would be well when she touched the garment of Jesus. The Lord Jesus acknowledged her faith that brought about the healing miracle. Times have changed. However, the biblical principle of faith in God still holds good. God still responds to faith in our hearts. Our believing is expressed through our saying and doing. Speak your faith. Speak the desired outcome that you are believing God for. Chapter 40. Believe what you say will come to pass. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 23. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." One of the passages where Jesus gave us clear teaching on how faith in God is exercised is in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 23. Jesus had just demonstrated how to exercise faith by speaking to the fig tree. The disciples had seen the outcome of him speaking to the fig tree. Jesus then proceeded to explain to them how they could exercise their faith in God. With faith in God, Jesus instructed us to speak to the mountain, commanding it to move. Don't doubt in your heart about what you are saying. Believe what you say will be done, and you will have what you say. Our faith is in God. But at the same time, we do something in the natural. We speak words of faith. We believe what we speak will be done because of the God in whom we have faith in. We believe that we are co-workers with God. When we speak words of faith, the God in whom we believe acts on our behalf, causing those words to come to pass. It is because of faith in God, we can also believe that what we say will be done, because God is well able to cause it to be done. Have faith in God. Speak your faith. Believe what you speak will be done because God causes it to be done. Believe what you say will come to pass. Chapter 41. Speak faith words in prayer. Mark chapter 11, verses 22-24. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." In this same passage where the Lord Jesus taught us how to exercise faith in God, he continued to teach us about prayer. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray." The "therefore I say to you" means, "for this reason I say this to you," or, "that is why I say this to you." The promise Jesus gave us about prayer and the method to pray in, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, is connected to what he taught us in, Mark chapter 11, verses 22-23. Jesus said, "When you pray, whatever you ask, believe that you have received them, and you will have them." When we have asked according to his will, we also know that we have received what we asked for from the Father, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14-15. So we believe we have received at the time we prayed. It is a completed matter. It is done in the Spirit. We now exercise what he taught us in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. We speak to the need, to the situation, to the problem, to the mountain, and declare what we have received in prayer. We declare the mountain moved. Faith in God is exercised by both believing we have received when we prayed, and by speaking to the situation, declaring is done what we believe we have received. Speak faith words in prayer. Prayer involves faith words to God, and then faith words to the situation you prayed about. Chapter 42. Agree with his word. Luke chapter 1, verses 37, 38, and 45. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, from the Revised Version. For no word from God shall be void of power. The angel who brought Mary the news that she was about to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit ended the message saying, "With God nothing will be impossible." This word "nothing" is a composite of three Greek words: pas, which is all, every; rhema, which means word, utterance; and wu, which means no. Hence a better rendering of verse 37, as seen in the Revised Version, would be, "No word from God is void of power to be fulfilled." Every word from God is powerful and will be fulfilled. God had spoken. The angel attested to this. Mary simply responded by agreeing with the word from God. She said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Her agreeing with the word meant that from that point on she did everything in alignment to what had been spoken over her. Later, the Holy Spirit through Elizabeth encouraged Mary, affirming that because she believed, she will see a fulfillment of the word that was spoken to her. No word from God that we read in the written scriptures is void of power for fulfillment. Every word given to us in the scriptures is powerful and will be fulfilled. Believing his word means we come into agreement with his word. We agree and say as Mary did, "Be it unto me according to your word." Our agreement with his word includes how we think, speak, and act. We cannot speak contrary to the word and say we agree with his word. If we agree with God and with God's word, then our words must also agree with his word. When we speak our faith, agreeing with his word, there will be a performance of things spoken to us from the Lord. Chapter 43. Command diseases to leave. Luke chapter 4, verses 38-39. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. And they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. We follow the Lord Jesus in life and ministry. How did Jesus minister to people to heal them of their sicknesses and diseases? We don't really find Jesus praying to the Father, asking the Father to remove sickness and disease. Yes, Jesus spent much time in prayer communing with the Father. But in his dealing with sickness and diseases, Jesus spoke to the disease with authority commanding it to leave. Luke chapter 4, verses 38-39 is one such example. The Lord Jesus rebuked the fever. He spoke to the fever and commanded it to leave, and it left immediately. Jesus is always right. He is the eternal Word. If our theology thus far does not include speaking to sicknesses and diseases as Jesus did, then our theology needs to change and align itself to what Jesus said and did. You and I are to do the works Jesus did, and even greater works, John chapter 14, verse 12. And of course, we are to do it the way he did it. Jesus spoke to sickness and disease and commanded it to leave. So you and I speak in a similar way. We command diseases to leave. We can do this for our own bodies as well as when we are ministering to others. Follow Jesus. Do what he did. Your words are an expression of the authority he has given to you. Command diseases to leave. Speak your faith. Chapter 44. Speak to the storm. Luke chapter 8, verses 22-25. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." Jesus spoke to the winds and water and commanded them to be calm, and they obeyed him. Jesus turned to his disciples and questioned, "Where is your faith?" Implying that they could have handled this situation with their faith. They could have done what he did with their faith. The Lord Jesus modeled for us the way to live and walk with the Father. He modeled for us what it is to walk and minister under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He also modeled for us what faith can do. He spoke to inanimate things, fig tree, sickness, disease, winds, and waves. He commanded them to obey, and they did. Should we follow Jesus in what he did? Absolutely. The next time you face a storm, whether it is literal winds and waves, or any other storm in life situations, do what Jesus would do. Speak to the storm. Command it to be quiet. Command the disturbances to withdraw, to cease, to be still. Command the storms of confusion, of ill will, of gossip, of discord, of strife, or whatever is not right. Command it to cease. Chapter 45. Declare people released from bondages. Luke chapter 13, verses 10-16. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall, and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" The woman mentioned in this passage had a problem with her back for 18 years. She was bent over and stiff. Satan had bound her and held her prisoner. It was a spirit of infirmity that had caused the problem in this case. How did Jesus minister to her? He spoke words as he touched her. He said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." His words of authority undid in an instant what Satan had done for 18 years through a spirit of infirmity. We as believers in Jesus have been given authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. The authority of Jesus is expressed through his body, the church, which is made up of believers like you and me. Authority is exercised by the words we speak. With authority we declare people released from their bondages. To those bound in addictions, we declare, in Jesus' name, be free from your addictions. To those bound in fear, we declare, in Jesus' name, be free from this tormenting fear. In a similar way, we release people from other kinds of bondages. Speak words of authority. Declare people released from their bondages. Chapter 46. Anointed words carry the life of the Spirit. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Listen to the same verse, John chapter 6, verse 63 from the Good News Bible. What gives life is God's Spirit, human power is of no use at all. The words I have spoken to you bring God's life-giving Spirit. Jesus had just finished speaking to his disciples about abiding in him, eating his flesh, and drinking his blood. And then to let them know that he was not speaking of literal, natural things, he clarified that it is the Spirit who gives life, the God kind of life. The flesh, the natural, cannot do this. Then he pointed to his words. The words he spoke were spirit, spiritual or of the Spirit, and his words are what brings the life of God's Spirit to them. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit. As he spoke, his words carried the life of the Spirit to his listeners. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. By his anointing at work through us, God uses the words we speak to be carriers of the life of his Spirit. Hence, when we speak under the anointing or as inspired by the Spirit, those words cause supernatural things to happen. They release the life of God to people. They release the power of God in situations and circumstances. Those words are carriers of what God wants released into our realms. Speak boldly as the Spirit moves you, knowing that anointed words carry the life of the Spirit. Chapter 47. Command in faith. John chapter 11, verses 40-43. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Standing before the tomb of Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, the Lord Jesus assured Martha that she would see the glory of God if she believed. He also thanked the Father for having already heard his prayer. And then Jesus spoke words of command, "Lazarus, come forth." Jesus had prayed to the Father. He knew his petition had been granted. But he also spoke words of command here in the natural realm for the desired outcome to take place. We believe that we will see the glory of God, the mighty works of God being displayed before us. Like Jesus, we pray in faith. And like Jesus, we must also speak words of command in faith. What are the things you believe God for? Sometimes, like Lazarus, what we have been expecting God to do may lie dead in a tomb. Time has passed by. It seems a bit too late. But God's promise is clear. If we believe we will see the glory of God, we will see the mighty works of God. We must pray believing prayers. And we must command in faith. Speak your faith boldly. Command your Lazarus to come forth. Chapter 48. the word brings you into your inheritance. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that God's word builds us up and enables us to walk in and possess the inheritance that belongs to all who are sanctified in Jesus Christ. Of course, all of us desire to walk in our inheritance. We want to enjoy all that God has provided for us in every sphere of life as his redeemed sons and daughters. But we must engage with God's word intentionally to be built up in our inner person, so that we can walk in the provisions and privileges God has made available for us. There are several ways we engage with the word. We must read his word, receive revelation of his word, meditate in his word, dwell in his word, and obey his word. Let his word abide in us. His word produces faith in our hearts, as Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us. And as we have been seeing throughout this book, we must speak our faith in God's word. We engage with the word of God as we do this. One of the keys to walk in our inheritance is to speak God's word over our lives. Of course, we are not doing this as a meaningless recitation or an empty ritual. We speak the word with faith in God and his word. And as we do this, we are built up by his word to walk in our inheritance. Speak your faith in God and his word. Chapter 49. I believe it will be as it was told me. Acts chapter 27, verses 23-25. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong, and whom I serve, saying, Do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. An angel had brought Paul a message from God. And Paul announced his faith in God boldly, stating that it will be just as it was told to him by the angel. We have the written word of God, the Holy Scriptures, which is a surer word than the word of angels. We can take what God has spoken to us in his written word, things he said he has already accomplished for us in Christ, things he promised to do for us here in this life, and declare our faith in what he has spoken. Declare boldly that you believe things will happen just as God has stated in his holy word. Everything in your present and in your future will come into alignment with what God has spoken. And then there are times when God will speak to us by his Holy Spirit, either through the inner witness of the Spirit, through prophecy, through dreams and visions, etc. Once we test and are assured that the Holy Spirit has indeed spoken a specific word to us, we can declare boldly that we believe that it will be just as it was told to us. Declare boldly, I believe God. I believe God that it will be just as God has stated in his word concerning me. Chapter 50. Call things that do not exist as though they did. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist, as though they did. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, reveals insights into Abraham's walk of faith. Abraham believed God. Abraham partnered with God through faith to release the plan of God on the earth. The God whom Abraham believed and partnered with is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. Abraham had to believe that what seemed dead would be made alive, specifically their aged bodies and Sarah's barren womb. And Abraham had to learn to call what did not exist as though they did. God did it first. Even when Abraham had no children, God spoke over Abraham and said that he had made him a father of a great nation. And then God changed Abram and Sarai's names to Abraham and Sarah. In effect, having them call what did not exist as though it did. Faith is the title deed, the proof of ownership of things hoped or desired for. Faith is the conviction, the confident assurance of things not yet seen, things that are not yet revealed to the physical senses. This kind of faith, when it speaks, calls things not as they are in the natural, but as they are in the spiritual. This kind of faith calls things that do not exist into existence. Faith is convinced that once God has spoken, it is done. Speak your faith. Call things that are not yet in the natural as though they are, because God has spoken. Chapter 51. Speak according to His promise. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 21. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. The Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul reveals how Abraham walked by faith in God to receive what God had promised. Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham hoped, and inspired by hope, he believed. What did he believe? He believed that he would become exactly what God had spoken about him. While the facts were there, the fact of the physical condition of his body and Sarah's body, he did not let the facts dictate his faith. He has a word from God. God had spoken about his situation. And that word from God was final authority in his life. Abraham's faith was anchored on what God had promised and that God was able to fulfill that promise. Everything in life, what he believed, what he did, and what he spoke, were aligned and in accordance with what God had spoken. Faith speaks according to what God has spoken. Often in our own lives, our present circumstances may contradict what we find written or promised for us in the Scriptures. God's Word promises something, and our experiences may have been something completely opposite. God's Word declares that God is Jehovah Rapha, and there may be sickness ravaging the physical body. God's Word declares that whatever you do will prosper, while recent experiences may be a string of failures. God's Word promises victory, while there may be several areas of defeat. What must we do? Should we accept our experiences as though these were God's will? Or should we accept God's Word as God's will for our lives? We are called to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Even when there is no reason to hope, we must have hope and believe God and His Word. Do not let the facts weaken your faith. Establish your faith in the Word of God. Faith speaks according to His promise. Speak your faith. Chapter 52. Reign in life, speak words of dominion. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus brought us out from all that Adam put us under. We have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. God has lavished His grace upon our lives. He has imparted to us His own righteousness as a gift through faith in Christ. We used to be sinners in the past. But things are different now. We are the righteousness of God. We have received God's abundant grace. Grace is God giving to us what we do not deserve, or what we could never earn on our own. What God has given to us by grace is truly ours. We have it. God has given it to us to enjoy, to live by, to have as our own. One of the many things God has given to us freely by His grace is that He has positioned us to live and rule like kings in life through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, that is because of Him and through the authority He provides, we are to rule and reign in life. Understand this truth. You are a person with spiritual authority and dominion. This is of no use if you do not exercise it. What do kings do? Kings exercise authority and dominion with their words. They speak words, they decree things, so that what they decree is established in their realm of influence. Adam put us in subjection to sin, to Satan and his demons, and everything that came because of the fall, including sickness, poverty, demonic oppression, etc. The Lord Jesus brought us out from everything Adam put us under, and has now positioned us to rule and reign in life over all of that. But we can never experience it if we do not exercise our dominion. Speak words of dominion. Issue decrees. Declare the word. Speak your faith and let everything under your realm of influence be ruled and governed by the truth of God's kingdom. Chapter 53. Faith speaks like this. Romans chapter 10, verses 6-8. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Apostle Paul has referenced in Romans chapter 4, that Abraham had faith in God and therefore God credited him with righteousness. He has also established that in Christ we have received abundant grace and God's gift of righteousness has been imparted to us. Now that we are in right standing with God, how does faith in God express itself? How do we speak, we who are people of faith and righteousness? We do not speak hopelessness and despair. We do not speak as though God is so far away in heaven that he cannot help us. We do not speak as though God is dead and powerless to help us. Instead, the Apostle Paul applies an Old Testament truth to us New Testament believers. He tells us the same thing that Moses told God's people in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11-14. The word is near you. The word that God has spoken is in your mouth and in your heart. The obvious inference here is that the word is in your heart for you to believe it, and the word is in your mouth for you to confess it. He then applies it to the word of faith, the message of the gospel of Jesus which we preach. The important truth here is for us to know that faith speaks. Faith speaks the word of God which is to be constantly kept in our hearts and in our mouths. Never speak hopelessness. Never speak despair. God's word is in your heart for you to believe it, and in your mouth for you to speak it. Speak the word. Speak your faith in the word of God. Chapter 54. Confession is unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 6-8. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Another truth we must highlight from this passage is the importance of believing and confessing. Believing God's word in our hearts puts us in right standing with God, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. We are in the right place, in position, to receive from God. And then the scriptures instruct us to take another step. We are instructed to confess with our mouths, which then results in us receiving or experiencing salvation. Confession is made unto salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead has made righteousness and salvation available as a gift. It is there for everyone to receive. Salvation has been provided, but we believe and confess to receive it. Notice the importance of confession. When we believe, we are positioned to receive. But confession is what brings salvation into our possession. Salvation as we understand in the New Testament is a comprehensive word that includes eternal salvation, forgiveness of sins, victory over sin, healing from sickness, victory in conflict, deliverance from every work of the enemy, rescue from harm, preservation from danger, and total wholeness. It means to be saved, healed, delivered, to have victory, to be rescued, preserved, and made whole. Believing God's word and confessing God's word is what makes each of these our experience. Speak your faith because confession is made resulting in salvation. Chapter 55. Declare your yes and amen to all his promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. How often have we heard people tell us that there are times God comes through, and there are times he doesn't? We just don't know for sure. People tell us that sometimes God's promises work and sometimes they don't. Look at all the people who believed God and yet failed, or died, or experienced disaster. While these are all facts and true, do we have a right to change who God is or what the Word of God says because of the experiences of people? Are experiences more reliable than God and His Word? Do we base our theology on people's experience, or do we base our theology on God and His Word? The Apostle Paul makes it clear that God is not fickle as some might make him out to be. In Jesus, there is no yes and no, but always and only a definite yes. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle, and he is never subject to change. James chapter 1, verse 17, based on the Message Bible and the Passion Translation. The Apostle Paul declares boldly that all of God's promises in Jesus are yes. All of God's promises are true, faithful, and find their fulfillment in Jesus. And then there is the amen that we raise up for the glory of God. There is the yes and amen to all the promises of God in Jesus. This is the expectation we must have. We will see the fulfillment of all the promises of God in Jesus, so that God can be glorified through our lives. Be established in this truth, that in Jesus, all of God's promises hold good. They are yes. Speak your faith in all the promises of God. Declare your yes and amen to all the promises of God, demonstrating that you expect to see them fulfilled. Chapter 56. We believe and therefore we speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 14. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. The Apostle Paul quotes here from Psalm chapter 116, verse 10. In fact, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, quotes just a part of that verse, perhaps to emphasize a specific truth that he wishes to bear to believers. We speak according to what we believe. We must speak our faith. Faith speaks. The spirit of faith has not changed across the testaments. The essence of faith in God, whether it was by people in the Old Covenant or by people in the New Covenant, has not changed. The principle of faith is still the same, and it is this: I have faith and I speak in faith, or simply faith speaks. We believe and therefore speak what we believe. We have faith and we speak our faith. This is the underlying principle of faith through the Bible. What we believe must be spoken. Faith must be spoken. If we believe God and His Word, then we must speak in accordance with that. We declare our faith in who God is and what He has promised us. We believe in Jesus, what He has accomplished for us through His death on the cross, His resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. We therefore speak and declare that. Speak your faith. Chapter 57. Use words to minister grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Words impart something to the listeners. Corrupt, bad, rotten, and worthless words impart corruption, and are things that do not bring any benefit. Good words impart strength, grace, and wholeness. Words are containers. Words are carriers. Words are transmitters. Words are ministers. they do something to the recipients. They can bless, build up, and strengthen. Or they can tear down, weaken, hurt, and destroy. As believers, we must speak words that carry and impart faith. Speak faith-filled words, so that it can instill, inspire, and awaken faith in those who hear us. We must speak words of wisdom. We must speak words that help, nurture, guide, and bless. Use your words wisely. Use it to bless people. Speak faith to bless others. Chapter 58. Use the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We are in the midst of spiritual conflict, as the Apostle Paul points out in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The enemy has been defeated, and yet for the time that is left, he still attempts his guerrilla tactics. As believers, God has given us weapons of spiritual warfare that are more than sufficient to live victoriously and to minister powerfully. Part of this armament is a powerful weapon of offense, the sword of the Spirit. This is a sword that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. It is energized and backed up by the mighty Holy Spirit Himself. However, we are to take the sword and use it. The assurance is that, when we use this sword, the Holy Spirit Himself moves on our behalf, because it is His sword. The sword, our weapon of offense that attacks and tears apart the enemy, is the Word of God. How do we use the sword? Well, what do we do with words? We speak words. We also see a clear picture in the book of Revelation about Jesus, the Word of God, that out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, Revelation chapter 19. Verse 13 and 15. So, the sharp sword of the Word is the Word of God that we speak out of our mouths. We use the sword of the Spirit by speaking the Word of God. Each time you declare the Word of God and speak your faith in God's Word, there is a wound inflicted on the enemy. When the enemy comes against you, whether with wrong thoughts in your mind or an interference in any area of your life, use the sword of the Spirit against him. He stands no chance against the mighty Holy Spirit. Speak God's word. Speak your faith. Chapter 59. Wage a good warfare with prophetic words. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Prophetic words are words given by the prompting or inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The gift of prophecy and prophetic ministry is truly operational in the body of Christ today. When we are given prophecies, we must understand that one of the reasons these words are given is to empower us in spiritual warfare. We must use these prophecies to wage a good warfare against the enemy. The enemy, Satan, and his demons, come to steal, kill, and destroy. They seek to disrupt, distract, and in some way disturb us from the purposes of God. We take a hold of the prophecies spoken over our lives that declare God's purpose, God's promise, and God's potential in our lives. With these prophecies, we wage a good warfare. We must use those words of prophecy as weapons against the enemy in the spiritual conflict we are engaged in. Remember, words must be spoken. Speak those prophetic words that were once spoken over your life, which of course you have tested and know to be from the Spirit. Declare what God has declared over you by His Spirit. God has said that those words are part of your weapons against the enemy. Speak those prophetic words. Speak your faith. Chapter 60. Acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The context of Paul's epistle to Philemon is interesting. Paul is writing to send a runaway slave, Onesimos, who has now become a believer under Paul's ministry, back to his master Philemon, who is now a brother in the Lord. As Paul opens this short letter, he points to an important truth: that the fellowship of our faith becomes effective, productive, powerful, and energized when we acknowledge and recognize every good thing, which is all the riches and blessings that are in us in Christ. We must learn to speak to call forth, acknowledge, and recognize the good things that God has placed in us by bringing us into Christ. We must recognize and acknowledge who we are in Christ. Do this both for yourself as well as for others. We fellowship around what God has done for us in Christ. This is what makes our fellowship powerful. Rather than speaking of weakness, how poor and miserable we are, or how sinful and depraved we are, let us acknowledge the good things that are in us because we are in Christ. Note, we are not stating here that sin must not be addressed, or if something is wrong, we overlook that and not bring correction. We must face up to error, faults, wrongdoing, and bring corrections where it is necessary. But we do this knowing that after correction has been administered and received, we release the past and look at the good things that are there in each of us in Christ. Chapter 61. His Word can uphold and regulate your world. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. As we have already seen in several instances in the Old Testament, here in Hebrews once again the Scriptures teach us that all things, the entire universe is upheld, sustained, regulated, and kept in place by the power of His Word. That same, all-powerful God has given us His Word for our lives here on earth. Surely His Word which He has given to us can uphold, sustain, regulate, and keep our little worlds in good order and functioning well. The key then is to take His Word which He has given to us in written form, in the Holy Scriptures, and bring it to bear on our worlds. One way we do that, as we have seen throughout the Scriptures, is to believe His Word and to speak His Word into our world. Know that God's Word has more than enough power to uphold and regulate your world. There may be times when things may seem to be falling apart. Things may seem to be going out of hand or spiraling out of control. Have confidence in the power of the Word of God. Speak His Word over your life, your present, and your future, over situations and circumstances. Speak His promises. Declare that everything in your world is subject to the Word of God and will come into alignment to His Word. Speak your faith. You will see the power of God's Word at work in your life. Chapter 62. Jesus is the High Priest of our confession. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. We have explained in an earlier chapter that the word confession, in Greek, homologia, means to say the same thing, or to agree with in words. Confession in this New Testament context is what we say in agreement with God and His Word. When we say the same thing that God has said, or when we agree with God with our words, we are making our confession. The writer of Hebrews points us to Jesus and states that He is the apostle, forerunner, the one who goes ahead, and the high priest of our confession. Jesus is representing the faith we confess or profess in heaven. This means that when we speak aligned to God's word and in agreement with what God has said, Jesus acknowledges and represents that before the Father on our behalf. Remember, Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Speak in agreement with His word. Speak your faith. Chapter 63. Hold fast to your confession. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Because we have Jesus as our great high priest, we must hold fast to, cling tightly to, and not let slip our confession what we are declaring in agreement with His word. Further, we know that the one who promised is faithful. He will not fail to keep His promises. Therefore, we hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. When there are things that challenge us, what we believe about God and His Word, we must hold fast to our confession without wavering. Keep speaking your faith, staying in agreement with God and His Word. When there are seeming delays to seeing the fulfillment of God's word, we must hold fast to our confession without wavering. Keep speaking your faith, staying in agreement with God and His word. When things seem to get worse, we must stand strong and hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. We have a great high priest in heaven, representing our confession, and the one who is faithful to his promises. Keep speaking your faith and stay in agreement with God and His word. Chapter 64. His words frame the world. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Through faith we know that the worlds were framed, created, formed, constructed, and shaped by the word of God. The visible and natural world came out of the invisible and spiritual realm. God created all things by His word, and He brought into being what did not exist. Everything in the natural and visible world is subject to God and to God's word. So, let us look at things this way. Each of us have our worlds in which we live. By our worlds, we are referring to our individual spheres of responsibility and influence, our homes, families, careers, business, areas of ministry, etc. There are things that do not exist in our worlds. God can bring into existence in our worlds what does not exist by the power of His word. His word can create, form, construct, and shape our worlds. As you look at your world today, perhaps it seems without form and void, and dark and empty. Perhaps many things you desire and see promised in God's word are non-existent in your world. Do you believe that God's word has the power to create in your world? Do you believe that God's word can bring into being what does not exist in your world? Take a hold of God's word. His word is truth. His word is alive and full of power. Believe His word. Speak His word over your world. Let His word create, form, construct, and shape your world. Speak your faith. Chapter 65. God has said, so we boldly say. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 to 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The writer of Hebrews has a simple rationale on how we must speak, because God has said, we boldly say. We boldly affirm and speak in agreement with what God Himself has said. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. God has said, by His stripes we were healed. So we boldly say, He took my sicknesses and carried my pains, and by His stripes I have been healed. God has said, you will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. So we boldly say, I bring forth my fruit in its season, my leaf will not wither, and whatever I do will prosper. We can add to this. Make it a practice to boldly say, what God has said, always, in every situation. Speak your faith boldly, because you know God has said, and you can therefore speak in agreement with Him. He will not let you down. Two can walk together only when they are in agreement, Amos 3, verse 3. We can walk with God only when we are in agreement with Him. We agree with God by being in agreement with His word. God has spoken, and therefore we intentionally and boldly speak in agreement with Him. Chapter 66. Govern your tongue, govern your whole person. James chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. James chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. A perfect man is one who is fully grown and mature spiritually, and is one who can control his tongue. When we are able to watch over our words and tame our tongues, then we will be able to have control and mastery over our whole body. The Passion Translation says, to control ourselves in every way. This bears out the importance of being able to govern our tongue, or control what we speak. One of the best disciplines we can have to govern our words is to make sure we always speak what God would approve of. Speak what is pleasing in God's eyes. Speak what glorifies God. Speak what agrees with His word. Speak faith. If we can do this, we are going to be able to govern ourselves in every way. One of the best ways to train our tongues is to practice intentionally saying what God's word says. There are many spiritual practices we see in Scripture. For instance, we know we offer sacrifices of praise and worship to God. We know how to pray and engage in different kinds of prayer. We know how to read God's word, how to study, and how to meditate in God's word. Similarly, as part of our spiritual discipline, we can take time to speak the word. At the end of this book, we have given examples of declarations from the Word of God, written in a personalized manner, covering areas of life from A to Z. You could use this format or any other to declare God's word over your own life. Don't do it as a meaningless ritual or some other box to check each day. Do it inspired by truth, because you have the revelation or understanding of the importance of speaking your faith. As you train your tongue this way, it will become normal for you to be careful with your words and to ensure that you speak in agreement with His word. It will be normal for you to speak your faith. Chapter 67. Your words guide, govern, and bless your life. James chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. James is writing under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and uses images from our world to reveal the power and influence of the words we speak. Consider the analogies he uses. Bits in horses' mouths, rudder in ships, and a forest fire. A powerful horse is controlled and guided in the direction the rider wishes by the bit in its mouth. Similarly, a big ship, even in the middle of winds and waves, is guided by the captain using a small rudder. A little fire can ravage a huge forest. The point is that our words may seem small, weak, and insignificant, yet the Holy Spirit wants us to know that the words we speak are powerful. They can guide, direct, and govern the entire course of our lives. In verse 6, James writes about an evil tongue. An evil tongue is set on fire, or inflamed by wickedness that comes from hell itself. Consider the impact of the evil tongue presented here. An evil tongue defiles the individual's entire body or entire being of spirit, soul, and body. It also sets on fire, impacts, affects, and influences the entire course of that individual's life. Evil words defile and destroy our whole person and our entire lives. Now, what if we have a good tongue? A tongue that is set on fire by the fire of God's word? God's word is like fire, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. A good tongue speaks words inspired and aligned to God's word. Such words will bless and build up our whole person. Our words guide, govern, and direct the entire course of our lives. Speak the word. Speak words of faith. Let the words you speak bless and build up your life. Chapter 68. Speak faith consistently. James chapter 3, verses 7 to 12. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. James, by the Holy Spirit, addresses the importance of being consistently good, right, pure, and clean in the words we speak. We must have control over our words all the time, so that we always speak life and blessing. We must not be double-tongued, speaking life and blessing some time, and then death and cursing at another time. Always, always, in every situation, consistently speak life and blessing. Similarly, we should not speak faith sometimes, and then speak fear, doubt, and unbelief at other times. Speak faith consistently, always. We can do this if we consistently fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. If we consistently feed ourselves with words of faith, then we will consistently speak words of faith. Tame your tongue. Train yourself to speak life, blessing, and faith, always. Speak your faith, consistently. Chapter 69. Resist the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We are to come under obedience to God and then resist the devil. The word resist is to stand against and oppose what the devil presents us with. As we see in the New Testament scripture, we resist the devil by speaking God's word, saying, "It is written," and by using the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and speaking words of command out of the authority we have in Jesus Christ. While thinking God's word is important, it is equally important to speak God's word as a part of our resistance and aggressive opposition to what the devil is attempting to do. When the enemy injects wrong and evil thoughts, ideas, imaginations, arguments, and reasoning into your mind, it is important to immediately bring to the forefront in your mind what God's word says in relation to that. And it is also important to speak what God's word says about that evil idea presented by the devil. We speak out, "It is written." Be firm and be aggressive in doing this. Resist the devil, being firm in your faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Speak your faith. Keep speaking your faith as many times as he comes back. Let the devil know you will not give him any foothold in your life. Chapter 70. Release words of blessing. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. One of the ways we return a blessing, even when we are cursed or wronged, is to speak blessing. Jesus taught us, "Bless those who curse you," Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. So, we intentionally speak words of blessing to them and over them, even if we have been wronged. This is a choice we make. Choose to hold your tongue and do not allow it to speak evil words. Refrain. Instead, make a deliberate choice to release words of blessing. Go before God and say, "Father, in Jesus' name I speak blessing over so and so. Even though they may have hurt me, I speak blessing over their lives in Jesus' name. Let everything be well with them in every area of their life. Let them be fruitful and blessed." Once you have privately released a blessing over them, don't gossip and tell others how mean they have been to you and how they have wronged or hurt you. Keep your tongue from speaking evil. In releasing blessing, you have positioned yourself to inherit or receive blessing. The eyes of the Lord are on you. He will ensure you have a good life and see good days. Always release words of blessing. Speak words of blessing in faith. Chapter 71. Words release your faith for victory. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 4. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been born of God. We have the life and nature of God in us. We are his sons and daughters. And because we are born of God, we are overcomers. We are filled with all it takes to live victoriously over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this scripture is clear that we have victory through the exercise of our faith in God. We must walk in faith if we are to live overcoming victorious lives. We do not live victorious and as overcomers just by the power of our self-will or by the power of our intellect. God said the way we have victory over the world is through faith. One of the key principles of faith we see throughout Scripture, which we have highlighted in this book, is that faith speaks. Faith is expressed through words. We must speak words of faith, words that express our faith in God, His Word, and in all that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Doing so is one of the ways we overcome and live victoriously over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Speak your faith. It is the key to living victoriously as an overcomer. Chapter 72. We are of God, so we speak as from God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 4-6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore they speak as of the world and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John the Apostle is contrasting two kinds of people. Those who are of the world and those who are of God. He states that those who are of the world are identified by this. They speak as of the world. They speak the language of the world, worldly matters, and express the spirit of the world. So the world pays attention to them. However, for we who are of God, the implication is, we speak as from God. And those who know God hear, understand, and pay attention to what we are speaking. We are of God, so we speak as from God. We speak a different language. We speak the language of God's Word. We speak aligned to the truth of God's Word. Remember, you are of God. When you are around those who are of the world, you will feel the pressure to conform and to speak as of the world. But you do not have to yield to the pressures of this world. You are of God. You are an overcomer. You have overcome the spirit of error, the spirit of this age, and the spirit that is against Christ. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You don't have to agree with the language of the world. You choose your words. You speak as from God. You speak aligned to God's word. Speak your faith. Chapter 73. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Satan is our adversary. Satan and his demons have been defeated and rendered powerless. All they have at their disposal in their weakened state is the ability to play mind games using lies, deceptions, accusations, and intimidation. That is why Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, causing his accusations to weigh on our minds constantly, thus accusing us in our minds before God. He attempts to make us feel worthless, condemned, and unloved before God. In Revelation chapter 12, John brings out a powerful key on how we believers overcome this adversary and his accusations. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We believe in what the blood of Jesus has done for us, and we speak and declare our testimony, that is, we declare what the blood of Jesus has done for us personally. We must declare. We must speak our word of testimony to what the blood of Jesus has done for us. We must say with our mouths declaring what Jesus Christ has completed for us through his cross, and that we believe in his finished work. Our declaration of what the blood of the Lamb has done for us crushes the adversary. Declare your faith in what Christ has done for you through the cross. Speak your faith. Final chapter. My declarations of God's word over my life. Here are examples of how you can speak your faith in God's word over different areas of your life. Meditate on God's word. Let God's word cause faith to arise in your heart. Then, speak your faith. Authority and dominion. Jesus has given me the right to use his name, to act on his behalf to do what he wants done. In his name I cast out demons and heal the sick. Jesus has given me authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt me. I am seated at the right hand of the Father in Jesus Christ in a place of dominion and authority. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 18, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Answer to prayer. The Lord Jesus has promised that whatever I ask the Father in his name, believing, I will receive. Whatever I ask, when I pray, I believe that I have received them and I will have them. I remain in him, his word remains in me, and whatever I ask in prayer, it is done for me. John chapter 16, verses 23 to 24, Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, and John chapter 15, verse 7. Anointing and power. I have received power because the Holy Spirit has come upon me, and I am a witness for Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he empowers me to heal, deliver, and set the captives free. He who has called me and anointed me is God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit on my life destroys demonic yokes and removes demonic burdens off people. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, and Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Blessings. I am blessed with every blessing that comes from God. I share and enjoy all the blessings God has for his people. I am blessed in all that I set my hands to. The Lord teaches me to prosper and directs my ways. I walk in obedience to God and his blessings flow like a stream that never goes dry. Victory comes to me like the waves that roll on the seashore. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 6, and Isaiah chapter 48, verses 17 to 18. Courage and confidence. I am strong and very courageous. I am bold like a lion. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The Lord is my confidence and security. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Exploits. I know my God. I am strong and I do great exploits for God's kingdom. God works in me and through me to accomplish things way beyond all that I can ask or think by his power at work in me. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Future. God knows the plans he has for me, plans to prosper me, to give me a future full of hope. God has planned things he wants me to do, and I am walking into them. All things are working together for my good because I am called to his purposes. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no one has yet imagined the things that God has prepared for me because I love him. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Family, home, and children. God has blessed my home. The voice of rejoicing and salvation fills my home. My home is a peaceful and quiet place, a secure place, free from worries. God pours his Spirit and his blessing on my children. All my children are taught by the Lord, and they have great peace. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Psalm chapter 118, verse 15, Isaiah chapter 32, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, and Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. Faith. God has given to me the measure of faith. I live by faith and not by sight. I believe and I will see the glory of God. With faith in my heart, I speak to mountains and they move, and nothing is impossible to me. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, John chapter 11, verse 40, and Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Favor and relationships. God surrounds me with favor like a shield. God causes me to be held in honor and high esteem. I walk in mercy and integrity, and I have favor and good understanding with those around me. God makes even my enemies to be at peace with me. Those who love the Lord are glad when they see me because I honor the Lord. Psalm 5, verse 12, Proverbs 22, verse 4, Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 4, Proverbs 16, verse 7, and Psalm 119, verse 74. Guidance. The Holy Spirit leads me and guides me into all truth. The Lord leads me and teaches me in the way I should go. He guides me with His watchful eye. My steps are ordered by God because He takes pleasure in my ways. Even if I fall, He upholds me and brings me back up. God's word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. I follow His word. John 16, verse 13, Psalm 32, verse 8, Psalm 37, verses 23 to 24, and Psalm 119, verse 105. Health and healing. The Lord Jesus Himself took all my sicknesses and diseases on the cross. I have been healed by the wounds Jesus bore for me on the cross. My God is the Lord my healer. The Lord blesses my food and drink and removes all sickness away from me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, and Psalm chapter 103, verse 3. Joy. The Spirit of the Lord fills me with joy. I love righteousness and hate wickedness, and so God has anointed me with joy and gladness. The joy of the Lord empowers me and fills me with strength. The God of hope fills me with joy and peace. I walk in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Psalm chapter 45, verse 7, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Justified and righteous. I have been justified in God's eyes through faith in Christ. In His eyes I am just as if I never sinned, because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed me from all sin. I am clothed with His righteousness and I stand before God with confidence and assurance without any condemnation. The Holy Spirit fills me with assurance that I am His child, and I call Him Abba Father. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, and Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 15. Love. The Spirit of God has poured God's love into my heart. I am empowered to love people with God's love. God's love in me makes me patient, kind, keeps me from being jealous, proud, ill-mannered, selfish, and irritable. I do not keep a record of wrongs done to me, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 5. Long life. God satisfies me with a long life. The Lord fills my life with good things, so that I stay young and strong like an eagle. Psalm chapter 91, verse 16, Exodus chapter 23, verse 26, and Psalm 103, verse 5. Mind and thoughts. My mind is a holy ground. I permit only thoughts that are pure, noble, virtuous, right, and honorable in my mind. I have a sound mind, a sound memory, a sound concentration, and a sound understanding. I consecrate my thoughts, emotions, and desires to God and bring every thought into obedience to Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4-5. Overcoming the world and the flesh. I am born of God, and I overcome the world and all that is in it. I overcome the sinful desires of the flesh, the cravings of the eyes and pride. I share in God's divine nature, and I stay away from the moral decay that is in the world. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I put an end to all the sinful deeds of my body. I walk in the Spirit, and I do not yield to the sinful desires of my body. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3-4, Romans chapter 8, verse 13, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Peace, quietness, and rest. I lay all my cares before the Lord, and the peace of God which is beyond human understanding fills my heart and mind. I choose to walk in quietness and confidence, and this fills me with strength. I walk in the rest that the Lord gives to me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, and Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-29. Power of the blood. The blood of Jesus has purchased and redeemed me, cleansed me from all sin, sanctified me, justified me, brought me near God, and given me boldness to enter God's most holy presence. I am covered and protected because of the blood of Jesus. I am in covenant with God through the blood of Jesus. The blood has set me free from the wrong ways of my ancestors. I overcome the enemy by the blood of Jesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18-20, and Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Prosperity and success. I am like a tree planted by rivers of water. I bring forth my fruit in its season. My leaf does not wither, and whatever I do prospers. I am blessed in all the works of my hands. I follow the Lord, His word, and His ways, and He causes me to prosper and gives me good success. As I walk humbly and in the fear of God, He blesses me with prosperity, honor, and long life. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1-3, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Protection and deliverance. I have made the Lord my defender, the Most High my protector. No disaster will strike me, no violence will come near my home. God is with me in trouble. He answers me and rescues me. The angel of God encircles me and delivers me. No weapon formed against me will be able to hurt me. God defends me and gives me victory. Every tongue that rises against me, the Lord puts down before me. Psalm chapter 91, verses 10-11, and verse 15, Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, and Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Promotion. My promotion, growth, and increase come from God. It is God who makes room for my promotion. As I submit to the Lord, He exalts me in His time. It is God who sets me in places of leadership, authority, and influence. Psalm chapter 7, verses 6-7, James chapter 4, verse 10, and Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. Provision and supply. My God provides for all my needs according to His riches through Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will not be in want. The Lord is a sun and shield to me. He does not withhold any good thing from me. God gives me more than what I need so that I always have all I need for myself and plenty to bless others with. It is God who gives me the ability to make wealth. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Psalm chapter 23, verse 1, Psalm 84, verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Signs, wonders, and miracles. These signs follow me and those who believe. In His name I speak with new tongues, I cast out demons, and I lay hands on the sick, and they recover. God is with me and confirms His word that I speak with signs, wonders, and miracles. The works that Jesus did, I will do, and even greater works because Jesus has gone to the Father. As I share the gospel of Jesus, God Himself bears witness with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 18, Mark chapter 16, verse 20, John chapter 14, verse 12, and Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. Sleep. The Lord gives me good sleep. I lie down and I am not afraid. I lie down and my sleep is sweet. I awake renewed and refreshed, Psalm chapter 127, verse 2, Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24, and Psalm chapter 3, verse 5. Spirit of God in my life. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in me. He leads and guides me. He teaches me all things. As I walk in the Spirit, I do not submit to fleshly desires. He is upon me, empowering me. His presence and power flows like rivers out of me and blesses, heals, and delivers people around me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and John chapter 7, verses 38 to 39. Triumph and victory. God always causes me to triumph in all things. I walk in the victory that my Lord Jesus gained for me at the cross. Through my God I do valiantly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, and Psalm chapter 60, verse 12. Wisdom, understanding, and inspiration. Christ is my wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might rests upon me. The Lord gives me understanding in all things. His word fills me with light and understanding. The inspiration of God in my inner man gives me understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Psalm chapter 119, verse 130, and Job chapter 32, verse 8. Witness. I am a bold witness for Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I acknowledge Him before men, He acknowledges me before the Father in heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Word of God in my life. I declare God's word is truth. His word prevails in my life. My life is upheld, sustained, and regulated by the power of His word. Everything in my world is subject to the word of God and aligns itself to God's word. John chapter 17, verse 17, Psalm chapter 119, verse 128, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.